It's the FTM Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Thursday, August 4th, and I'm fired up. It's freaking August, baby. It is fantasy football draft season, and man, is there so much to talk about on the show today. We are going to dive into the Deshaun Watson stuff, the latest that we know about Deshaun Watson, where he stands, what could be next, and maybe dispelling some of the misconceptions out there that people have about this, the appeals process. We'll talk about Marquise Brown and his little speeding incident, and we're going to talk about the fabled punt RB2 strategy. I just released a strategy article over at ftnfantasy.com where I break down all of the strategies that you can use at running back, wide receiver, at tight end, at quarterback, and then take you round by round through the process of how to use those strategies. I don't think it's like anything else out there in terms of strategy articles. It dispels the myths, and it will make you a better drafter. It will, flat out. Now, unfortunately, it is behind the paywall, so you got to get in on the goods over at ftnfantasy.com. But in addition to access to that article, you will get the most accurate rankings in the industry from last year, 2021. No other site can say that. This isn't one of those things. It's not like you go to a diner and they say, "We have the world's best cup of coffee." All right, well, it's just a crappy cup of coffee, right? But we truly have the most accurate rankings in the industry from last year. In addition to that, you're going to get projections. And I recommend the Platinum subscription, where you'll also get access to things like League Sync. You will get access to the Discord chat, where you can talk directly to me and the rest of the folks on staff. Get your questions answered, all that stuff. I know that's important to you. And, of course, the advanced statistics as well. Hey, if you're a high-stakes player, we have some of the best high-stakes players in the world to help you out with that subscription tier. And then we have an all-access as well. If you want access to our DFS stuff and our betting stuff, all of those subscriptions, any which one that you choose, you can get 20% off with the promo code RATPACK. That is RATPACK. 20% off. Use it. Abuse it. Use that promo code. All right, let's talk about the Deshaun Watson stuff. So, the NFL decided to appeal the decision from Judge Sue Robinson. Of course, that decision was a six-game suspension, and the NFL appealing for an indefinite suspension, which essentially would be a one-year suspension. Watson would be able to apply for reinstatement, that is, after 1 year. So one full season, 17 games. Now, there's a couple moving pieces here, but let's talk about what's most likely to happen and what's least likely to happen. First and foremost, the appeals process, by the way, goes to Roger Goodell. He, yes, is the commissioner of the NFL. The NFL is appealing, so this is where it gets a little weird, but he is the one who decides by rule. They have the independent arbiter who makes the initial decision, then he would decide on any appeal. Unless that independent arbiter decided there was no suspension, which wasn't the case in this instance here. I know it's a little weird. Goodell also could, by rule, appoint somebody else to hear this appeal. I don't know which one, if he's going to do that. But apparently, there's not going to be any more evidence presented. There's no more hearings. So this should be an expedited process. It is weird that Goodell is making the decision and the NFL is appealing it, but remember, in the past, Goodell had final say regardless, so this new process has that different, that extra step involved. In terms of the indefinite suspension, I actually do not see that as being particularly likely, because if they do, if Goodell says, all right, 17 games or indefinite, it will trigger a lawsuit from the NFL Players Association on behalf of Deshaun Watson. So we'll get to that in a minute, but I don't think that's especially likely. I also do not think it is likely that Goodell's like, yeah, the six games stick. I don't think he's going to do that. What's going to more likely happen is either an additional 2 or 4 games. So that would be an 8 or a 10 game suspension instead of a 6 game suspension. If that was the case, I don't think a lawsuit is filed. And I think ultimately Watson serves out the suspension and then he's on the field and that's that. Right. And by the way, if you're listening to this, I don't want to minimize or trivialize what was alleged to have happened off the field, right? At all. I take that very seriously. But this is also the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast, and I do have to, it's part of my job to talk about the fantasy football angle of all this stuff. So if that happens, there you go. If Goodell says, screw it, let's see. All right, 17 games, and a lawsuit is filed. The lawsuit would not apply to the six games is in place. It would not be like Ezekiel Elliott or Tom Brady in those lawsuits in the past where he would be able to play. Watson is going to be suspended almost certainly for the first six games no matter what. Now, the lawsuit could be in place and he could get on the field in week seven, and then ultimately once the lawsuit is finalized, he gets extra games or whatever at that point. But we really won't know until we cross that bridge at that time. So for right now, you can guarantee at least the first six games. It seems likely there will be additional games. Of course, I'll fill you in both over at FTNFantasy.com and on this podcast going forward. All right, let's talk about Marquise Brown. So Marquise Brown was driving a little fast. And a lot was made of his arrest for criminal speeding on Wednesday morning. He was arrested at 7.05 a.m. in Arizona for speeding. Criminal speeding in Arizona is one of two things. It's either any speed over 85 miles an hour or traveling more than 20 miles per hour over any posted speed limit. So legitimately, if it was a 25 mile an hour speed limit and he was going 46, that's criminal speeding. It sounds like he had a little bit of a lead foot. It doesn't seem like anything else was part of this. And I don't think anything comes of it. I think it's much ado about nothing. This is the time of year where people make a big deal about everything with the NFL because we're also starved for NFL news. But I don't think anything happens from this. Yeah, sure, he'll probably have a nice ticket to pay. But I don't think the NFL suspends him. And hopefully he just drives slower going forward. Because there's no reason to be doing that. And as far as Marquise Brown is concerned, he's a really interesting player to target in drafts because, remember, DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first six games of the season. So in that span of time, Marquise Brown is going to be the number one receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. And with that, as the number one receiver for those games, he's going to be playing with Kyler Murray, who he's already played with, in an exciting offense. Like, yes, I have my complaints about Cliff Kingsbury's offense because he never moves his receivers from their spots. That I call that a Chip Kelly, by the way, because that's what Chip Kelly did with his receivers at the NFL level. But anyway, I digress. There's a lot of potential there. And, you know, when Hopkins comes back, he should be the top target, sure. But the genie may be out of the bottle at that point for Marquise Brown. So I do like where he's going as a front-end wide receiver three in fantasy drafts right now. All right, so if you are an FTN subscriber and you're in the FTN Discord, I think you probably already have heard a thing or two about Punt RB2. If you aren't, you may have heard of this strategy by other names. Some people will call it Hero RB. Some people will call it Anchor RB. There's many names. But the thought process of this approach in fantasy football drafts is that we are going to draft one top 10 fantasy running back. Some people may even go as far as a top 12. I keep it at top 10 because that's about the range I like this year. And then we do that, and obviously it's going to be in the first two rounds of your drafts. And then we don't go back to the position until the middle rounds, like round seven, next time we're going to look at the position. So the idea of this is, well, it's based on something that comes from zero RB. Now, this is not a zero RB approach. Let's be very clear about that. But the underlying principle of zero RB suggests that if you do the age-old approach of going after running backs early and often, well, you are investing in a very volatile asset, and you are doing so with your most valuable picks. So you're investing your most valuable picks in the most volatile asset. Why are running backs volatile? Well, simply put, running backs can get hurt more often than wideouts and, you know, any other skill position. Why? Because they touch the ball the most. Like, yes, okay, the quarterback touches the ball in every single play, but the quarterbacks are protected in the NFL in a lot of ways. Running backs All right, what's your top tier running backs? How often are they going to touch the ball? 20 to 22 times a game, and occasionally maybe even crazy touches like Derrick Henry last year, almost 30 carries a game. What is your top wide receiver going to touch the ball? And I'm not talking about Deebo Samuel if he gets a bunch of carries out of the backfield. Like, your top receiver. Will your top receiver have 10 touches a game? That's 10 catches, by the way, which would be an NFL record. Even 9 catches is a gaudy number of catches. So simply put, they're not touching the ball anywhere near as often, so they're a less fragile asset. It is also much easier later in the season, because running backs tend to get hurt, it's much easier to work the waiver wire and get an RB2 or maybe even better than that on waivers than it is to do so at wide receiver. It's really difficult to actually do that at wide receiver. So what we're doing now at zero RB, you're investing all of your early picks in wide receiver and perhaps tight end and maybe quarterback, depending on how you go about it. Instead of doing that, though, and I know that's outside of a lot of people's comfort zones, instead of doing that, we're at least anchoring with one top 10 option. Yes, it's still a volatile asset, but we're not investing any of the other early round picks that we have in the position, right? So it's either a first rounder or a second rounder. Now, I do in this article over at ftnfantasy.com break down exactly how to navigate all the different strategies. But in this case here, you're investing in a top 10 running back. Once you take that running back, whether it's Jonathan Taylor first overall or DeAndre Swift in the middle of the second round, once you take one top 10 running back, you have checked that box, and now all the values on your board shift. Because I keep getting people, they want to try and get me to say, okay, well, you know, if this running back is on the board, then okay, it's all right to abandon ship on the strategy. That is not the case. Once you draft that top 10 running back, it doesn't matter who else is there at running back because you have accomplished that goal. So therefore, your values shift on your board and wide receivers shoot up your board. Like, when we go into a draft, yes, we have rankings, or I prefer to use a draft board. We have those in place, right? But they're not static. For example, if I drafted Dalvin Cook in the first round, right? Dalvin Cook's handcuff is Alexander Mattison. Alexander Mattison's value to me has now increased because I have drafted Dalvin Cook. I will go on my draft board and I'm going to move Alexander Mattison up 2 rounds to make sure I get his rear end to cuff Dalvin Cook, right? His value increased. My board was not static. So it's the same thing here. Wide receiver value increases. And then what you do with punt RB2 after you get that first running back, whether it's in the first round or the second round, by the way, because in the first round, let's say you get Justin Jefferson and then you get Joe Mixon in the second round or something along those lines. Once you get that running back, though, you're not going back to that position. You're going to completely fade the dead zone of running backs that last from round 3 through round 6. Completely fade that and hammer initially wide receivers. Now, if you wanted to go robust tight end and you're taking Kyle Pitts in the third round, go for it. I typically am not going that route, but I'm not going to talk you out of it. Typically, I'm looking more at like 6th, 7th round tight ends than 3rd round tight ends or 2nd round tight ends, because I think there's just slightly better value, but it's still a viable approach here. The key is just not investing these picks in running back. Now, you're going to then go back to the position in round 7, usually for me, in a 1-quarterback league. It gets pushed back a little bit in 2-quarterback superflex because you'll have a couple quarterbacks in that range there. So maybe it's more like round 9. And then it is hammer time, right? Please hammer. Don't hurt them. Too legit to quit. Can't touch this. Whatever. It is friggin' hammer time. And we go after running backs. Bang, bang, bang. 3 in a row. We don't want to wait. You don't want to hold on to the late rounds and say, maybe I'll see what's there in round 12. No. Bang, bang, bang. Round 7, 8, 9. Or 7, 8, 10. Or 7, 9, 10. Something like that. Bang, bang, bang. And, you know, again, if you drafted Dalvin Cook early, you know, maybe one of those guys is Alexander Mattison. But what we ultimately are trying to accomplish here is not drafting our second running back, and then our, you know, people will say, well, he's my RB2, and he's my RB3, and he's my RB4. No, the three guys that we go bang, bang, bang with, provided that none of them are cuffs, are any one of them could be our RB2. Like, we're you know, it's an open call, open audition to be number two on this roster. We're just drafting guys with the potential to return on investment in that range. And usually you're not going to find that type of guy in the late round. So what types are available? Like, you can have the sort of post-hype guys, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, guys like that. You could potentially do the passing down guys, although I don't do a lot of that. You know, James Cook is one of them this year. Nyheim Hines going in that range, that type of player. Or the guy on the wrong side of the committee, like a Tony Pollard, Melvin Gordon. I prefer the post-hype sleepers and then the rookies as well. Because, you know, okay, Breece Hall is not going to be available, but Ken Walker might. I can guarantee Dameon Pierce and Tyler Allgeier will be there. I don't want to get all three of those guys, but I do at least want one of them, because every year we see these rookie running backs come out of the woodwork and emerge. Like Elijah Mitchell last year as fantasy standouts. I have found punt RB2 to be a very viable strategy that will, you know, it just packs your lineup with firepower, and it doesn't leave you open to all that volatility at running back. So check it out. Check out the article over at ftnfantasy.com. And there's so much more content going up all the time. The Discord is amazing. The rankings, my two draft guides, the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide, and, of course, the Game Plan Draft Guide are both available there as well. Remember, promo code RATPACK will get you 20% off on a subscription. You can follow me on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe. And fantasy football draft season is here, so we will have more FTN Fantasy Podcast coming at you next week. Until then, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.